Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
One of the missions that God gave me way back when I was ordained a priest 21 years ago, He told me to tell my people about the Holy Spirit. If you want to live with passion, you need power, you need strength, you need ability, and that ability comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has revolutionized my life. And as you know, if you've watched my programs in the past, I preach often about the Holy Spirit. So buckle your seatbelts, get ready, and I pray that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the recorded live preaching. The Lord be with you. Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. On the last and greatest day of a feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within the one who believes in me." And Jesus said this in reference to the Holy Spirit, that those who came to believe in him were to receive. The Gospel of the Lord. You may not know where we start preaching. You may think, well, it just kind of happens somewhere. You probably haven't given much thought to it, but let me tell you where it happens. It's right in front of the scripture scholars and the ethicists and the historians and the liturgists and, you know, all these theologians. And once a day, we would have Mass in a chapel. It seats about 100 people in the round, and let's just say that second row there was about the back row, and everybody's right around you and very close, very intimate. And so I knew I was going to have to preach sooner or later, and your formation director put you on, and all the students are going to be there, all the high-powered people are going to be there, and that's fine, you know, because after all, I'm anointed. The Lord has blessed me with the Holy Spirit. I'm called. I'm chosen. I know that God wants me to do this, so I can do it, I think. And so anyway, the day came where they put my name on the board. Now, I don't get to choose what I want to preach. I don't get to choose the scriptures. It's the daily scriptures. You got to take what you get. But after all, since God has chosen me and called me, God's faithful, right? You know, he's going to give me something good like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," or Acts chapter 2 about Pentecost, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit." That's my expertise. Watch this. So I go up there to the board because I knew they put my name on there. I wanted to see what they put me next to, and I didn't immediately recognize the scripture. It was Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. I said, "What in the world is that? I've never heard of that before." Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So real quick, I went back to my room and got my Bible and started thumbing through it. So what's this going to be? So Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20, Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20, Mark chapter 5, 1 through... Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. You know what it was? It was the gospel of Jesus goes over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he's met, you know, he just goes through this big storm, and he's met not by a welcoming committee. And by the way, where he was going from Jewish territory over to Gentile territory for the first time in his ministry. So now he's branching out. He's going to new territory here, just like I was. So he's going across the Sea of Galilee. Remember, a storm hit him? And that storm was really satanic. It was this evil thing, because when Jesus said peace to the storm, the word in the Greek is be muzzled, like you muzzle a dog that's barking and snarling at you. So Jesus said, be muzzled. And the storm stopped. He gets over. So the storm was trying to stop him. And by the way, when you try to do anything great or try to do anything, any advancement, things are going to try to stop you. But, you know, you got to have that peace that surpasses all understanding and don't be codependent on events and circumstances and people and let them stop you. So anyway, he gets over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. What does he encounter? Welcoming committee. "Thank you, Jesus, for coming over here. You're going to heal everybody." No, no welcoming committee there. It was this man who used chains and knives to destroy people and himself. His name was Legion. And he's possessed not just by one demon. He's possessed by a legion of demons. A legion was a Roman cohort of about 144 men. So there's lots of demons in there. I mean, not just the seven demons that were cast out of Mary Magdalene. I mean, there's lots of them in there. So Jesus is met by this legion man, and of course, Jesus prays over him. Remember what happened? And he casts the demons out of him. And where do they go? Into the pigs. And they get into the pigs. The pigs over the cliff, right into the Sea of Galilee. They all drown. Pigs are gone. The demons are gone. For the first time in his life, the man is clothed in his right mind. And he's got peace. You know what he said to Jesus? He said, "Jesus, let me follow you." It's like the only person in the Bible that asked to follow Jesus, and Jesus said no. Jesus said no. You know what he said? "Go home and tell everybody how good God has been to you." I guess Jesus didn't want to be seen with this legion guy. I don't know exactly what it was. But Jesus told him to go home. By the way, that word go, go is a very interesting word in the Bible. It's where we get the word mass from. Mass, misa, mission, go. It's the Great Commission. And that's what we do at Mass. In fact, they changed the wording, as you know, in the third edition of the Roman Missal that we've just had in Advent. And they changed the whole ending of the Mass. It used to be, you know, the Mass is ended, go in peace. You know, go would be stuck in there in the middle. Now it's go to proclaim the gospel, or go in peace. That word go is the first word because it's the Great Commission. We're fed by the Word of God. We're fed by the body and blood of Jesus. Then we go. We go home and tell everybody how good God has been to us. So anyway, the man is told that, to go home, and I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to preach about? I can't preach about demons, you know, because they really don't, it's very scholarly around there, very academic. They don't believe in demons. Those are all manifestations of psychological problems, so I heard. So I'm not going to be preaching about that, and then, you know, what else can I preach about? Well, my whole thing is evangelization. You know, that's that whole go thing, and preach the good news, and charity begins at home. Go home and tell everybody how good. And if a demon-possessed man could do it, so much more we can do it. And then I was also going to say that, you know, the apostles weren't sent out until chapter 6. And this is chapter 5. So who was the first apostle, really? It was this demon-possessed Gentile. So if God calls him, God calls us to do great things and to make a difference in the world. So anyway, have my little sermon. Went in there that day, and I was going to preach and got the best. I was all prayed up and got the best courage I could get and ready to go here and trying to stay positive. After all, I'm anointed and the Holy Spirit's with me. So I get in there that day and it's a packed chapel. Everybody's there, all my friends. I get up to proclaim the gospel. By the way, when you're going to be speaking, you also proclaim the gospel. And they teach you just don't read it, put people to sleep. No, you proclaim it. And how do you proclaim it? You use energy. You better know what the gospel is. You better have practiced it. And you better look at people. They teach you to look at people. You notice when I preach, I'm looking at every one of you, and you at home too. So you look at people, you proclaim, you use volume, you use energy. So here I go. I stand up, and I stand up there right by the lectern. I'm right up in front. And this is a long gospel. It's 20 verses. And I go, "The Lord be with you," and this thunderous response, "It used to be, and also with you at that time." And I look around and I see everybody and anybody that I know in the world that's important to me. There was my formation directors who were going to vote on me. I see my friends there, you know, that I'm going to school with. They're sitting there. They're rooting me on. I see, you know, my liturgy teacher over there and the guy that wrote the Bible sitting right there. And, you know, what I felt like? I felt like Peter when he first got out of the boat. Remember Peter, and he's in the boat with Jesus during the storm, and Peter calls him out. And he gets out of the boat, and he's standing there, and he was walking on water. And then he said, "Uh-oh." And that's exactly what happened to me. I go, "Uh-oh, it's too late now. I can't get back in the boat, and there's a big storm going on right around me right now." So I started to read the gospel. I started to proclaim it. And it's 20 verses. As I'm talking about the demons, you know, and I'm looking around at everybody, I swear I could tell what they were thinking. Like, you know, "Oh, hey, that's Cedric. We haven't heard him before. I wonder what he's like. I wonder how he preaches. Can't wait to hear him and his thoughts. I wonder if he's as smart as he looks. I wonder if, you know," all these different things, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm starting to sink here. I go, "Wait a minute. It's this thing about dropping the ball again. Remember? You know, because I'm still human. I got to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. I wish when the Holy Spirit comes, all of a sudden it's like, zzz, then the fear is gone, or zzz, all of a sudden you're just totally changed. Well, something better than that. When the Holy Spirit comes, actually what happens is you get this new courage to face your fears instead of running all the time. Because the way I was, I wouldn't have ever done anything like that had not God been with me. But I had enough courage to get out of the boat, but I still had to face some of my past. So anyway, as I'm reading, I'm only halfway through the reading. It's 20 verses, and I'm to verse 11. This happened to me, and I'll never forget it. It was unmistakable, totally clear. What happened to me was this. As I was proclaiming the gospel and looking around, and I'm only halfway through, I had absolutely, positively, 100% no spit. It was gone. I mean, if they wanted to knit a wardrobe out of the cotton in my mouth, they could have done. Well, it's an interesting thing that happens that when you ain't got no spit. This is an absolute true story. This is what happens. So I was standing there, and my lip was so stuck to my teeth, it wouldn't move. And, the guy that wrote the Bible is going. The other thing that happens when you ain't got no spit is that, people tell me, Father, you have a nice voice, and you have great resonance and everything, and we love the way you talk. And, well, when you ain't got no spit, You can't say any words. Every word with an F in it comes out weird. And it's amazing how many words there are in the Bible with an S in it. Like Jesus, for example. Or gospel, or things like that, or possession. And I couldn't say anything. My lips up like this. I'm trying to say Jesus. And I'm thinking, he didn't cast those demons into the pigs. He cast them into me. You ever try to run with one leg? It was awful. I finished the proclamation, and then I tried to preach. I couldn't preach. I couldn't take Jesus. I couldn't do nothing. And then I tried to swallow. I went... I just sat down. I couldn't take it anymore. I think this looks red. You should have seen my face. There was only one door out of that chapel. It was in the back. I wish it was behind me. I would have been out of there. And, on the way out, they have these... you ever see the Olympics, when the figure skaters, and they try to twirl and everything, and then they fall down on the ice? Then they hold up these signs like 2, 3, That's about what it was. I'm walking out and people are shaking my hand, feeling sorry for me. I go to my friend and, my best friend, and he puts his hand on my back and, hey, Cedric, that was really good. I go, you liar, that was horrible. And you know it, I know it. He goes, come on down to dinner, because, everybody goes down to dinner right after Mass. I go, I ain't going to no dinner. You go down to dinner. I went down the hall to my room. Went inside my room, door slammed shut, I flop on the bed like this, and I go, that's it, it's over. I ain't got no call to be no priest, I can't even say Jesus. I was numb, I was paralyzed, I was laying there and go, I gotta call my parents and tell them, I thought I had a call to the priesthood, but I don't. I don't have a call, I'm laying there, listen to this, in quiet, everybody was down at dinner, so it was real quiet. And deep within, all of a sudden I heard, Cedric, don't give up. I'm with you. You can do it. And you know what I thought? Where were you a half hour ago? I am not going back in there. The guy that wrote the Bible thinks I'm possessed. He never believed in possession before. Now he does. Not me. Nope, get somebody else. Cedric, you can do it. Don't give up. I've taken you this far. Don't stop now. Well, you've all heard that saying, and if at first you don't succeed, try again. Okay, so I had to be made a fool of many other times in my future. You're just seeing me 20 years later. This is after all the disasters and the plane crashes and the train wrecks and everything, where you learn what to do. Well, anyway, you also notice I got some water over there just in case. Here's what I found out. Everybody has two main voices within them. The first voice is the voice of negativity, and it says that you can't do it, and that you're no good, that you're never going to amount to anything, and you always do everything wrong. It always tells you everything that's wrong with you, or what you didn't say, or what you haven't done in your life. And we all have that voice. But there's another voice within us. I call it the voice of divinity. It's the Holy Spirit within us that says, I'm with you. I've anointed you. You can do it. I'm going to help you. Don't give up. Because we're so quick to give up. And you know, what was trying to happen to Jesus, you know, this storm coming against him, evil was trying to do to Jesus what he tries to do to everybody. He comes against you with a storm. He comes against you with something hard. And he tries to keep you in your little box. He wanted Jesus just to stay in little Galilee over there. Don't you dare go across the sea and try to help other people. Don't expand your ministry. You just stay right there. And don't do anything more. But not Jesus. Because he was in touch with, he was anointed, he was blessed with the Holy Spirit, and he kept moving. And so fear will keep you in your little safety zone. Now, all week long, what have I been talking about on the retreat? About moving and changing and growing and maturing and progressing. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to sanctify us, to help us in our attitude, with virtue, with realizing potential, because in and of ourselves, we can't do it. But with the Holy Spirit, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. If God is for us, who can be against? So anyway, as you can see, I've done some moving and some shaking and some going forward. And God's not done with me yet. And I still have to face my fears. And there's still a lot of anxiety. And you don't know what comes against me trying to do this. But there's all kinds of things. But I can tell you this. The one who lives in me is greater by far than the one who lives in the world. And I want to tell you that the spirit that I'm talking about, I discovered. And I'm just sharing with you my own personal experiences to let you know that you have that same spirit within you. Unlimited possibilities. Treasures, rivers of living water. Remember what I told you, an inexhaustible supply. You live in Abita Springs, most of you. You know about the springs and how they just keep coming up. There's this reservoir down there that is inexhaustible. It's the same way in you. You have rivers within you. Get in touch with that. I'm praying for a release. Not that you get the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit fills you, that there be a release. Just like you take that bottle and you go over to the water and you fill it, because the water is there, you just got to capture it. And it's the same way with you. And how do you capture it? By believing that God wants you to be filled. By listening to the Word as you are now. By turning away from your sins the best you can. By reading the Word in good spiritual books. By watching good TV programs. By listening to good Christian music. That's how you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You allow the Spirit of God to fill you. You open up your heart wide to that wonderful, positive strength and power and fire and passion that is the Holy Spirit. My life has been revolutionized, and I will never be the same. I am nowhere where I ever thought I was going to be in my life. And it's because of the Holy Spirit. Remember the first week of Lent? Jesus was driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will let the Spirit of God drive your life. Well, along with all these other things that I've talked about, a personal relationship with God, peace, having a new passion, let me just kind of conclude with love. I think all of us deep within, we have this hunger to be loved. And when our husband or wife doesn't love us the way we want, or community members don't love us the way we want, we're not happy. But I want to tell you tonight that you are loved. See, the Holy Spirit is God's love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit in a tangible, real way. And you have it, every one of you. Every one of you watching by TV, I told you, even if you're an atheist and you just found the program, trust me, you have the Holy Spirit. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Watch what will happen. So this love that we all search for, to be accepted, to belong, to be one with, we all seek this deep communion, this intimacy. And this is what I discovered when I was touched by the Holy Spirit. And wow, did this revolutionize my life, as I said. Because I know that this will never end. No one, Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus. Not trial, not nakedness, not danger, not the sword, not the guy that wrote the Bible. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, grandmothers are very loving, unconditional people who love their grandchildren. And it was about this grandmother, and Christmas was coming up. She bought all these presents for her children, her grandchildren. And she just wanted to get one more present, so she went into a poster store, and she was flipping through the posters, and she sees this one poster of a young man on a surfboard. Underneath it said, Cowabunga. You know, here's this young guy up there. And she thought, hey, my grandson, gonna love this. Writes down the number, and then flips through a few more posters, sees this beautiful nature scene, mountain scene with few puffy clouds, and you know, thinks to herself, wow, my granddaughter loves nature, writes down the number, gives the numbers to the clerk. Clerk gives her two rolled up posters, takes them home, wraps them up, puts them under the tree. Christmas Day, all the presents are open. Now the last two to be open. And the grandson goes and he gets his poster and he unfurls it, rips it open, and there's this young man on a surfboard. Grammy, thanks, you know, I love it. I'm gonna put it on the wall of my bedroom. Last gift to be open, the granddaughter. She's about 15 years old. She gets this poster and pulls it open, unfurls it. Her mouth drops wide open. What do you think she sees? She turns it around. It's a big, fat, pink hippopotamus. And underneath are the words, but I love you just the way you are. Grandma sees that. She goes, whoa, did they ever make a mistake? I'm going to take that back. And she goes, no, Grammy, that's okay. I like it. I'm going to put it on the wall of my bedroom. So she did. About 2 months later, Grandma gets a letter. She says, Grandma, I got to tell you something. Over the holidays, I think I ate too much and gained a little bit of weight, and nobody asked me to the dance. And I feel so sorry for myself and such self-pity. And I come home, and I feel sad, and I flop on my bed, and I look up at that big, fat, pink hippopotamus, and I see those words, but I love you just the way you are. And it's like God hugs me, and I know I'm okay. And I want to tell you, you're okay. God loves you just the way you are. None of us are perfect. But God is the one who created you. And he breathed his spirit into you right from conception. And he lives within you. So don't diminish the life that God has given you by your negativity and by your doubts. Jesus said, believe. And what is it that we're to believe? We're to believe in the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the love of God, and the fact that God is within you. And we're to believe that all things are possible to those who believe. And maybe you won't get the stars when you reach, but you'll get the moon. And you got to keep reaching in your life, because the ones who are dead are the ones who are stalled and stuck, and they stop moving in their life. And life is all about movement and going forward. And that's what our retreat has been all about. And you can move, you can grow, and you can become through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, but my last statement is the saying that I love, and it's the hallmark of my ministry. All my books have to do with this, my TV programs, my preaching, my counseling, and it's this: who you are is God's gift to you. But who you become is your gift to God. So I pray that you will become all that you can be. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful love for each and every one of us. I pray that if anyone is doubting your presence, may they come to a new faith. Those who are at home, as they flipped into this TV program, I pray that you will do something powerful in them right now. I pray that your grace will hit them in a very beautiful way. And everybody who's here on this retreat, may they experience the filling, the release, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. Come to a new faith, progress in your life, and be all that you can be. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so you know, long after this retreat's over, keep reading the scriptures, reading my books, checking out some of my TV programs, growing spiritually, you know, doing everything you can. And I would really concentrate on praying directly to the Holy Spirit within you. Remember what Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And that's exactly what he was talking about. The presence of God is within you. So concentrate on the Holy Spirit. When you're alone in prayer, say, come, Holy Spirit. And if you don't feel anything, don't give up. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Sooner or later, the water will come bubbling through. I hope you enjoyed that teaching about the Holy Spirit. That's an absolute true story. I was so afraid in front of all those people, and I went through the fear. But the Holy Spirit was with me, and the Holy Spirit is with you. The Spirit of God wants to help you to have an intimate relationship with God and to realize your potential. I invite you to consider this book, Glorious Holy Spirit, over 200 pages to bring you into a deep personal relationship with the Spirit of God who lives within you. This book will revolutionize your life. I talk in very easy terms. I use lots of stories. You will understand who the Holy Spirit is. And the subtitle is Knowing Who You Are by Knowing Whose You Are. Also, the book called He Touched Me will really touch your life. The Holy Spirit wants to touch you, and I believe that God will touch you as you read this book. I receive lots of emails and lots of letters, as you know, from these programs that go out around the country. One viewer in New York, I'm on in New York every day, she said, if anybody had ever told me that I would voluntarily get out of my warm bed at 5:30 in the morning for anything less than a national catastrophe or a medical emergency, I would have said that they were crazy. However, since watching your program, listening to your inspiring teaching about Jesus, I have felt such a conviction about the way I've been living my so-called Christian life, and I have such a desire to surrender my heart to the Holy Spirit. Words can hardly express my appreciation about your teaching. I love reaching out around the country. I want to touch everybody's life with the truth that has revolutionized my life. Every time you buy a resource, you help me to inspire people, to reach out to people in prison, to reach out to people who are flipping through their channels in a hotel room, to reach out to people who are lost and who want to change, who need a Savior. Please help me to reach out. When you buy my resources, I'm a priest with a vow of poverty. 100% of your money is going to go directly to these programs, to buy airtime, to produce these programs, and to help me reach out. Would you help me by buying one of my resources or possibly becoming a partner with my ministry? Thank you so much in advance. And remember, don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.